Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
KFC Radio episode 174. Listen, if you're a guy, you got a girlfriend, you got a wife, you're involved in a relationship in any way, you know it's inevitable that you're going to screw something up at some point. You're going to be in the doghouse, and you're going to need to get out of that doghouse, and the best way to do that is to go to the Books. We talked about the Books for Valentine's Day. We talked about Books for Mother's Day. You know the name. They've got the volcano flowers. The flowers that literally grow on the side of a volcano, so they have the biggest and best blooms. And so how could your wife or your girlfriend stay mad at you when you hand her some volcano flowers? She can't. So whether you're in trouble right now, whether you're going to be in trouble in the future, because you know you are, keep the Books in mind. Books prices start at just $40. There are no upcharges, no extra fees, and even delivery will be absolutely free if you register with the Books. I got them on speed dial. Because your boy is constantly digging himself out of the doghouse. So it's just a constant revolving door of flowers coming in and out of the apartment. So go to Books.com. That's BOUQS.com. And enter the promo code KFC. And you'll get 20% off the bouquet of your choice. That's Books.com. Promo code KFC. Your boy's like sick again because his fucking kid goes to daycare and then hangs out with the snot-nosed little other kids and then comes home like a petri dish with all these germs. So I'm all under the weather and whatnot. You got your boy Clem filling in for Big Cat, who is probably out at the gym right now eating a hot dog, practicing for the Nathan's 4th of July contest. Clem, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Well, I'm just jealous of Feidelberg. At any time, I'm jealous of Feidelberg's setup here.
he claims it's because, you know, I'm at home with my parents and I don't want to do the show. If you're watching on premium, you can see the beautiful foliage behind Feidelberg as he sits in the sun. And he claims it's because he doesn't want to do the show in front of his parents. And I think it's just because he wants to rub it in that he's out there living the life outdoors. Well,
that is always the case, and it is certainly partly the case today. A major part, though, I've been working outside yesterday, maybe Tuesday, too, because I got this pimple right here, like an Indian, and I want it burned off by the time the 4th of July weekend, so I've been working outside nonstop.
I should have known that vanity always wins out with Feidelberg. There's always a reason that's vain behind it all. I apologize once again for the audio. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to do the technical stuff. When something doesn't work, I really don't have any sort of way to troubleshoot it. So, I guess we dive. Actually, you know what? I'm going to start with a couple non-voicemails things. I just got a tweet. I believe you were tagged on it, Fights. It was a video of some chick. I don't know who she was. Yeah, you were tagged on it, Fights, from Joe Boyle. He tweeted at us. This chick, she was eating some food. She was doing some video on YouTube, getting interviewed. She brings up Charlamagne the God. You guys know Charlamagne from the Breakfast Club on 105.1? She claims that Charlamagne will not fart in his own pants. She said that he takes his pants and underwear off to fart. She said he doesn't want fart air all up in his clothes, and he thinks it's dirty to fart in his pants, so he farts into the air and takes off his clothes. Which
power move?
What a power move, right?
That's like some like I'll never wear the same socks twice.
Yes,
like everyone's kind of rich desire. That's like on that level. That's fantastic.
The thing is, though, the rich no socks twice thing. You got to be rich to do that. Me, you, Clem, we could all stop farting in our pants right now today if we wanted to. You don't have to be anybody to do that. We could stop farting in our pants.
I have a buddy who would do this. He had no problem farting in his pants, but he would pull down his pants to fart, like, pretty often. I don't know if anyone's ever seen a fart. It's the most fucking disgusting thing. He'd, like, surprise, like, pop out of the room, and his pants would just be down, and he'd just fart. And it would be like you could just see like a little butthole like pulsate. It was the most.
Oh my god! Did he like? Did he spread it open so you could see everything?
Wide open.
Oh my god!
The most It was the most offensive. I mean, it was like you'd end up laughing, but it was like the most offensive, disgusting thing you'll ever see in your entire life.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. That's not surprising. That's the last thing I think I want to see is a little fucking butt pulsating while it farts. Yeah, I'm gonna fucking puke right now. The problem, Clem, is that you don't always know when you're gonna have to fart. So, like, do you think Charlemagne just like drops his pants in the middle of the studio if he's got a fart? Or do you think he has complete control over his farts?
100%. You just like when that's your thing, you just kind of can do whatever you want. And those guys have probably spent so many hours together. It's like basically closer than family.
Right.
I'm on the other side of the spectrum right now, where I think you talked about this briefly on a KFC radio with Fights and Big Cat. But my wife can't smell.
Yes, we did bring this up.
Yeah, so I can just basically let loose whenever I want. Other than, like, the sound of it, she'll never know the difference. Like, she can't smell when my baby has a dirty diaper, which kind of is God's way of coming back at me for
right.
all this.
So you're on the hook for all that?
Exactly. So I can just let loose whenever I want in the house. But then when I'm around mixed company, I like, can't stop it. So I'm the opposite of Charlemagne, where I have to just – I just unload whenever I want. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, like – and I hate being that guy to, like, let one out. And I've been pretty good so far. But he definitely could just pull down your pants. Like, that's your thing. You're the guy who just fucking pulls his pants down.
That's a great thing to have. Like, that's my thing. That's what I do. That's how I'm known. I don't fart in my pants.
It can't be real, though. Because, like, what if you're in public?
That's where I do think there's an element. Like I said, me and you can't just pull our pants down and fart. But, like, he's pretty popular. He's got a lot of followers. Pretty successful dude in New York. He could probably pull his pants down and fart and get away with it.
Dude, I don't think any – I guess in New York's a different story.
Well, actually, maybe he could get away with it. I don't know. Maybe not. But we definitely would have, like, seen it or heard of it at some point. Charlemagne pulled his pants down to fart.
I would think, like, if you were, like, you know, you're out for the day and you just got nowhere to go, like, and you just keep swallowing farts, you just, like, blow up like Baruch Assault. Like, you just get so much air inside of you that – because, I mean, like, butts eat farts. That's – you know, we've all done it. We've had our buddy eat a fart before. And it's not a comfortable feeling. So if you do that just nonstop, like, it'd be so gaseous you'd end up like just you'd float away or you'd have to get rolled away however she went. I forget.
I feel like Charlemagne was probably in like high school. They probably started a rumor about him, like, you know, the girl that hooked up with everyone in the hockey team and she had to get her stomach pumped for all the cum.
Yep.
Like, he was probably like, he had to get his stomach pumped from all his farts being done.
He so ate all,
like,
of his farts.
Never again.
It does. It is kind of gross when you think about how much you fart in your pants, especially, like, yo, I'm on the record. I don't really wash my jeans nearly enough. Yo, your farts, your jeans have seen some farts, man. Like, Charlemagne's hasn't. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, I've done it. I've had that happen before. I've never had it happen with, like, regular pants, but, like, ski pants maybe. Like, you put them on the next day, and when you pull them up, you get, like, the gust of wind that comes up, and you're like, oh, I fucked these all the time yesterday.
Oh, God.
Are you guys like me where if you don't shower for like a day and then you wear like a pair of shorts, like, I can't wear that pair of shorts without washing it though. Like, I have to have showered into my pants. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
If you haven't showered, you can't double up the clothes?
If I double up the clothes, like, the next time I put them on, like, my brain's like, dude, these clothes have had some stench on them. You kind of have to wash them.
Bro, I double up the clothes all the time. Nonstop. Yeah.
It's actually kind of my gift, like, because I don't sweat, which is a sign of an extraordinarily unhealthy body, which shouldn't come as news to anybody. But I like, don't sweat. I've never sweat, ever. It's, like, it's really weird. Like, I don't get pit stains. I don't fucking, like, I'm never sweating through a shirt.
That's a goddamn superpower in my eyes, man. Yeah. That's a gift from God. Embrace it.
It's been like that my whole life. Like, even, you know, back in the day when I used to, like, you know, do things like work out, I'd have to drink like 6 bottles of water per workout because my body doesn't cool itself. That's what sweating is. It's cooling, right? So, like, I would just get so hot, I'd, like, hang out windows and stuff. It was weird.
Yeah, man. Because, sounds weird.
Because of that, my clothes never really stink. Like, I can wear it for like 2 days and it doesn't really smell. I was in Newport and I threw a shirt that I had worn on, like, Thursday. This was, like, Sunday. I threw a shirt that I'd worn on Thursday just into the dryer to de-wrinkle it. And everyone was like, dude, that's
You can't do that again? Yeah.
you go out Thursday night, you're not even going to wash it. You're just drying it to get the wrinkles out. And I took it out of the dryer. I was like, here, smell it. And they're like, this is ridiculous. It smells like you fucking just came out of the wash. Yeah, just smell it. I smell like roses.
Apparently.
Is that what dogs do? Is that why dogs pant? Like, are you like half dogs?
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Final, that's why Feidelberg's always dipping. He's like spitting it out. He's actually like,
I'm cooling my body down.
Cool down the body. All right, let's get into these voicemails. They're brought to you by Movement Watches. Where's my Movement Watch? I got mine right here. My monochromatic all black on black on black Movement Watch. They got those with the metal bands. They've got the leather bands. I got another one with the sand colored leather band, white face. Looks real cocky. It's a real good summer wear. You know the deal by now. Movement Watches. It truly is a movement at Barstool. Everybody's got them. They start at just $95. So ordinarily, you know, people commenting on my watch, hey, man, nice watch. Where'd you get it? They expect me to say it's like a Rolex or something. They expect me to say it's like a $500 watch. Nope. For Movement, just $95 and up. So don't be the only stoolie out there without Movement on your wrist. Get to MVMTWatches.com, so Movement Watches, MVMTWatches.com/KFC, and you'll get 15% off your entire purchase. That's MVMTWatches.com/KFC. These voicemails are brought to you by Movement. Let's see, where do we begin? I got them all in iTunes. Let's see. Fights, we begin with you. Would you rather a girl convincingly fake it or just tell you, hey, bud, it's not going to happen. Thanks for the effort. Just
what a horrible question. What, do you have to convincingly fake it? Just be like, oh, and I'll be like, okay. Like, I don't care about being convinced. Just give me like a like when you hand in a horrible paper in college and you're like, just give me the gentleman's 50. That's all I want. Like, that's all I need. 50%, just to show that I was here, is really that I at least put in the slightest bit of effort. Give me that kind of credit. Yeah, I don't tap me out.
Well, okay, just... now I agree with you in the sense of a hookup. Let's say you've been dating a chick for a while. Let's say it's enough where you've gotten to the mountaintop a couple times here and there. You've reached the promised land. You've unlocked the Rosetta Stone and you've gotten her off. So now you know what the real deal is. You know how she really reacts. You can't really go back to, like, convincingly faking it. Because it's like, I know you didn't.
Unless all of my girlfriends have never once faked it, then I can't fucking tell. And I guarantee you.
Well, the problem is none of them have probably actually gotten off, John. That's the logic there. You're looking at it wrong, pal. They're all faking it all the time.
Because here's the deal. It's like as it's really – in 2016, it's really our only test as a man. Like, back in the day, you had to hunt, you had to build houses. There were things men could do to just prove that they were a man.
I failed this test, by the way.
In 2016, the only thing I can do to ensure my masculinity in my own self is get a girl off. There's nothing else I can do.
That's true.
So give me my masculinity. Let me have that.
Well, but the point is that you can't. You're not masculine enough. You're not getting her off. You don't deserve
but it's
that.
Not, well, in this scenario, like, it's not like I can't. It's just like don't.
No, because no, it's that you can't
do it. That you do it. That no, but like, but you're saying it's like a girlfriend you've done it with a million times. In this, you know, it's a Tuesday night or some shit like that, right? And we're just tired. We want to go to bed. My heart's probably not in it either. So let's just both just be like, yeah, it was great, and roll over. Because if you tap them out, then it becomes – I mean, it's like
that's
I
a,
forget what
– That's a confidence that, killer when that happens.
That's what I was gonna, like the, that's what the sex is like sports where it's like it's really about confidence. It's about just knowing you can do it. You bring that up. You start that. That's a psychological tsunami that's hitting you, and that's going to affect the relationship for months to come, years, maybe end it, perhaps end the relationship with
that's
it.
Some Rick Ankiel shit, like you can't find the plate anymore, your career as a pitcher is over because some girl just gave you the old it's okay.
I got the yips because you said no thanks after 15 minutes because you were tired and wanted to catch up on The Bachelorette. No,
Don't do that.
Clem, would you rather the theatrical actress route or the good old honest, like, we're good?
I think I'd rather have the second. I'd rather have them trying to coach her, try to coach me to get her there. Because if it's going to – if it's a long – again, this is if it's a long-term thing. If you're going over the top, I know you're lying to me. And right. We both know her. You know what
right.
I mean?
I'm not so, that good.
Yeah, exactly. So I never will be that good no matter what happens. So I'm true to myself in that regard.
I've really never been able to tell if we're going to work out while Clem fixes this. Which I think is – it's certainly a testament to my selfishness, but I've never once been like, oh, I can clearly tell this girl's faking it, right?
I guess you're right. We'll let the fire trucks go by.
It's like – I've never been like, oh, my God, what a performance she's putting on right now. Like,
yeah, no, you're right. But I wonder – I bet if you really put your mind to it. The thing is, when you're in the heat of the moment, you're not really – focusing or really listening to her, you know what I mean? So no, like, it's like you don't know if she's putting in an over the top performance or not, unless it's ridiculous.
Sex is kind of like you're running from a burning building and you're holding her hand and you'd like for her to get out with you, but it's really you're the one you're really concerned with getting out. Like, best case scenario, we both make it out alive, but I'm the one I really want to get out.
and just in that same scenario, you're not going to remember things that were said or noises that were made as you're getting out of the building. You're just trying to get out of that building. So right, you don't exactly really know if she's moaning too much or screaming too much or not enough. Clem, are you back in action?
I don't care what the hell you're saying back there. I'm focused on the light. I'm focused on just
getting out that door.
Safe room out there. And if you make it, God bless both of us. If not, we had a good run. It's a good time.
Clem, now, yeah. I understand what you were saying, though, about you'd rather – her be honest and kind of coach you to get there so that maybe you don't have to deal with this issue in the future.
It's just going to end up just hurting me in the long run. That's all it's going to do. I'm going to think I'm good and I'm just going to suck and I'm just going to keep going from person to person sucking it. I've gotten to the point now, we've gone over this a few times on this show. Guys suck at sex.
Suck.
There's nothing wrong.
Stink
you know
at
what
it.
I mean?
Yeah.
We stink at it. I'm like kind of going back to John's analogy with the grades. I'm a pass-fail guy. So either I passed or I failed. That's how easy a woman's orgasm is in my mind. It's like either you got something or you didn't. So I'm fine with a pass-fail. I make no mistake. If you're already having sex with me, you've already got to make some concessions to yourself about how good this is going to be. So you can just tell me the truth. I'm very self-deprecating. You know what I mean? So
I like that.
That's the real – if you're going to like drop the real life comment section on me and give me a real life critique, that's fine with me. I can live with it.
I think it depends on the situation. Like, I would like for you to maybe fake it. If I'm like really putting in too much of an effort, if I'm like really going all out and you want to just be like, stop, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm really hell bent on making it happen and you know it's not gonna, I think you can give me the heads up. I think it also depends on if you're dating, if you're just hooking up, if you're married, if you're in a long-term thing. Like, right now, my wife can just be like, just finish up, dude. I'm like, okay, yes. Sounds good. Now, if I'm trying to – if it's early stages and we're trying to impress each other, nah, that's not exactly the most sexy romantic
thing. I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, if you're just tapping out, like saying finish up, I mean, that's essentially being like – in my mind, that's like rape me. Like, I don't want to be doing this.
Hey, John, it doesn't feel good. I'll like, tell you that much.
Like, if you said just finish up, I'd be like, okay, this is done. Like, what
no.
Are you gonna do? I'm not going to finish up. If you want to stop, we'll stop. But I'm not going to just fucking finish.
It's never that blunt. Here's what you should do, girls. Like, switch positions or be like, let me take care of you or whatever. If you want it to end, you can change the course of this intercourse. You know what I mean? And, you know, basically, like, just flip around. Just be like, here, hit it from the back. You know where we're going to go after that. You know we're going to get to the finish line there. So you don't have to verbally say, like, dude, it's not happening. Just be like, yo, I want you to hit it from the back. Then we will get there. I promise. So
it's basically like Charlemagne taking his pants off. You know he just unloads the fart immediately. You know, that's exactly what we're doing.
That's what we call a callback in the industry. Well done, Clem. I like it. All right, let's keep it moving here. I didn't listen. So usually I screen these. I saw the title here, and I wanted to be surprised along with you guys. because the title is I saw a... No, I'm just going to play it. I'm going to play it.
Hey, guys. Ryan from Minnesota here. Today I'm calling because this weekend me and my buddies were out at the bar, and it was a little bit late, but at one point in the night, we saw a two-headed girl. Legit two heads. She only had two arms, just like a normal body, and a two-headed girl. I thought that shit only existed like on TV and stuff. And immediately we started a conversation about, you know, if you could have the courage to bang a girl with two heads.
Two-headed girl at a bar is some uncharted territory for KFC Radio. I don't know. I think we've had some hypotheticals. I don't know if we've ever actually talked about a real-life two-headed person at the bar. I don't even know if I want to talk about having sex with one because it's weird. Just how fucked up would it be to be like a Siamese twin with two heads?
I'm telling you right now, I would absolutely
kill myself. The problem is you can't kill yourself because what if your other head wants to live? Then you're a murderer, you know? I would kill myself, though. I'd be like, we're jumping off this bridge together. Me and your head, we're doing this.
I'm telling you right now, the way the reactions were of this, me and you were one way, John was the other. I think Feitelbert's had sex with a two-headed person before.
No, I couldn't really hear it. I couldn't hear it. Is this a hypothetical? Or does that
dude walked into a bar and saw a two-headed person.
Oh, my.
I mean... That's one of those things, you know, I was blogging about this with Barstool New York the other day. I've seen it all. We've seen a lot of shit in the subways, Clem. We've seen, you know, creatures on the streets of New York, things that are weird and gross, and you've just kind of learned to tune it out and look the other way. If I walked into a bar and I saw a two-headed person, I think I'd have to just walk up to them and be like, talk to me about having two heads. What the fuck is this like? I'm just going to take pictures of you and stare at you and stuff. I mean, that's a once-in-a-fucking-lifetime scenario right there. Two-headed person at the bar, John. Jesus Christ.
I feel like if you have a disability and you just own it, you can become the life of the party. So, like, maybe just start talking to yourself. Have a conversation, like, with the other head. That would be, like, everyone at the bar would want to be around that person. Just, like...
Those persons.
What are they talking about? What is that one body talking to itself about? I need to hear it. And you could be like go do karaoke, go do a duet. God almighty, that would be
great call. You could have a full-blown like stand-up comedy routine. You can do duets and music. You could probably do dance numbers together. I mean, the possibilities are endless. Could you imagine what's the duet you would want to hear the most?
Oh.
I want to hear two heads do Usher and Alicia Keys' My Boo.
That's a great one.
It'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
Wait, if it was a girl, then it's got to be The Boy's Mine.
Yeah, well, all right. It would have to be same. It would have to be the same gender. Same gender duets are hard to come by.
Not yours, but mine. That would be me. It wouldn't even make sense. It just goes out one body. Dude, where was this? I need more information about this because I need to go find this girl and make her a fucking star. I'm like this Simon Cowell. I'm like in the old days when like not a zookeeper, but in a circus used to just kidnap freaks. That's what I'll do. I'll kidnap freaks and turn them into superstars. America's got talent for crazy fucking looks.
John Feitelberg is going to be the Simon Cowell of Siamese twins. That's what's up. Siamese Cowell.
I will never look at The Boy Is Mine the same again now, too.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's what it is. I'll never look at Russell Brand the same because of John Feitelberg, and I'll never look at listen to The Boy Is Mine.
I ruined a lot of classics.
The Boy Is Mine was... such an unbelievable pull by you. That's going to go down in history. We might have to like lay some music under this episode. We might have to do it in post. Clem, what do you got on two-headed freaks?
I think John nailed it on the head, though. I think you have to go in owning it like anything else in life. I'm the fat guy. I have to own being fat. You kind of make a couple of jokes. Everyone loosens up from there. Then again, I can never, like, even like someone with like a lazy eye, I still don't know which eye to look at all these years later.
Me neither. I've got one. I don't know what to do.
But like, if you say like, "Hey, you ever had a threesome before? You want to have one? You know, like someone
right. Like, and get then it if for you the
have
two of us.
If you have sex with her, do you then get threesome on your resume?
No, I am a big proponent of it needs to be two vaginas that you're sticking it in. Although it is two mouths.
If it's two mouths and she has two vaginas, is it then a threesome? But one body and two arms and two legs.
Well, then that sounds like a foursome. I don't know. These are the things that we'll leave up to you animals in the comment section. We'll switch gears for a second here. I got a listener DM. This is a new one. We've done tweets, we've done emails, we've done voicemails, we've done it all. But now I got myself a some chick slid up in my DMs, and this one is brought to you by LegalZoom.
Ooh, brag.
No, you know what? To be funny, to be perfectly fair, it really wasn't me. It was I think it was Connor or maybe the KFC Radio account. So it really technically wasn't my account. So no humble brag. This DM is brought to you by LegalZoom. LegalZoom is the best way for a young entrepreneur or a new business to take care of their legal business. The problem is when you're starting up your company, you don't have a lot of money to spare. You got to reinvest it, trying to go big, trying to get big, trying to be successful. You don't have enough money to keep an attorney on retainer. So that's where LegalZoom comes in. A year of membership at LegalZoom is usually about approximately 1 hour of an attorney's time. So you get an entire year for just an hour if you go to LegalZoom. It's not a law firm per se, but it's a network of independent attorneys that are licensed in 48 states. So if you go to LegalZoom.com today, and you could spend the rest of your time growing your business instead of worrying about legal details, use KFC in the box at checkout to save even more at LegalZoom. So yeah, like I said, I got this DM, and it goes a little something like this. I need you guys to talk some sense into my husband. He has not shaved or cleaned up his pubes since, like, September 2015. It's now almost July. It's a full-on forest down there. It's disgusting, and when I ask him to at least trim it, he tells me he can't because it's his playoff beard. What fucking sport is in the playoffs right now? He also has started referring to his cum as meat milk. And she hits us with the, like, horrified, scared emoji face. Ooh. This all started after we got married, by the way. How do I get him to clean up his 70s bush and not say nasty shit like meat milk? What in the actual fuck did I marry? Well, it sounds like this chick kind of got a lemon, you know? She drove off the lot. She drove off the lot thinking she got one car, and she ended up with a Ford Pinto. This guy has a 70s bush, calls his gum meat milk, and is not even interested in helping her out at all. Clem, you're a married fella. I'll begin with you. What do you make of the situation?
I think you guys usually give this kind of advice, and I think it fits here. That being said, if it doesn't, it's gonna just lead to divorce or an annulment, whatever.
So this is all or nothing. You're about to give us all or nothing.
The easiest way is you just stop shaving and you just become a fucking mess like him. And now you're just in a standoff here. You know what I mean?
A good old-fashioned Mexican pubic standoff.
Yeah. I mean, a guy shaving his pubes, I feel like for girls, like a nice surprise. A girl shaving her pubes is like almost like shaving her legs now in 2016.
It's you know? Necessary. It's absolutely necessary. Yeah. And I think that most guys do take it for granted. So you want to fight fire with fire and take away what he takes as, you know, a given. I think maybe you have a lot more hand in the negotiations. You got a lot more leverage at the table. Fights, what do you got on 70s bush and meat milk?
I don't know, man.
I don't even know. I think I have more of a problem with the meat milk.
The meat milk, I have a really disgusting answer for you. Spit it back at him.
Oh, my God. Yo, I cannot in good conscience give out some advice that ends up with a dude getting cum spit at him, okay?
You know how we always talk about, like, oh, we just ended that relationship. We just did this. Like, yeah. I just caused a murder.
You just ruined that guy's life. And, yeah, he's going to turn around and stab her.
No, yeah, no, I didn't ruin his life. I briefly made his life horrible. I caused him to murder her. So I guess I ruined it in the end because he's gonna go to jail killing her. As to the Bush, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's like
I will say this. I am not anywhere near that scenario, but I can see how you get there. Where like after like you know. A decade in, like, I don't fucking care. Now, it sounds like these two just got married. When you're even if you're remotely within the honeymoon phase, if you're remotely newlyweds, I'm talking years out, you still got to take care of things. But I definitely can see where you get to the point where you just don't give a fuck anymore about your clothes. How, like, I can understand. I talked about this on Mail Time with my brother. I can understand why my dad wears bathing suits as real shorts with tube socks, white tube socks pulled up, and like some Chef Curry 2s and like a Hawaiian shirt, because he just doesn't give a fuck. I don't think my dad's out there shaving his pubes up to look all nice. You know, I think you reach the point where you're like, I do not care anymore. I think the problem is that this dude is at that point way too early.
I'm not far from that point.
I wore mesh shorts and an Eli Manning jersey to Father's Day breakfast the other day because I just don't give a shit about life anymore.
Yep. But it's also your day, so you're allowed to.
Yeah, it was my day, and I'm like, I'm a fat blogger who sits inside all day, and I don't see humans ever, and I just don't care anymore. Like, my life is over. I'm only going to have more kids, and they're just going to make me go crazy. John, this is your future right here, man.
I don't know that it is. I don't know if I'll ever be out in mesh shorts and an Eli Manning jersey or Tom Brady jersey.
Have some kids, bro. Have some kids. See what happens.
That's a bold move.
It's a great move.
It was my day. I got to treat myself. That was me treating myself right there. That was me having a nice long bush.
Nice and special. Special day.
Meat milk. Excuse me. Of course. I think the vagina can be called so many gruesome things. Yeah. Like, you want to start, like, you know, axe wound comes. Like, if you say axe wound, you start calling it an axe wound. Like, he's going to be like, I don't want to deal with that right now. So, I think you have to fight fire with fire. I mean, if you want to fight fire with fucking nuclear warheads like John and spit it in his fucking mouth, that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, I think fire with fire is the only way to go here.
I like that. I like that approach. It's very proactive. It's a direct answer. And I think
Clem had the best answers on this one. I'm kind of just horrified by the whole situation. I'll admit I didn't really bring my A game on this one. It was shocking. It's a shocking question.
What's gross is, like, why would you even want to call it meat milk? Like, if you're in the heat of the moment and you're trying to talk dirty or something, meat milk isn't like that's not gonna turn me on or anything. It's gross, man. It's a fucking gross ass phrase. Jesus.
That's really my only sign of maturity, is that I don't like calling sexual organs or sexual
nicknames,
liquids, like gross things. Like, I don't think it's funny. It makes me sick. They're all just.
I don't even really mess with jizz. I don't even really do that. It's just cum.
It's just cum.
Yeah.
It's just call it by its name. It's really by its medical definition, cum, C-U-M, and that's it.
Done.
Don't fucking mess with stuff like Clem said. Excellent.
It's terrible.
even worse than those, though, are like just like the made up ones that girls think are cute. I think I've said this before. Like, my ex girlfriend called it a kshloppus. Oh. I'm like, what the fuck is that? It sounds like a deep sea creature. She's like, I gotta go shave my kshloppus.
Oh, my God. That sounds
that's like a Jewish name.
Yeah, like a Yiddish thing. Like, what's for dinner, Grandma? Fucking kshloppus. Oh, that is disgusting.
Do you think this guy's trying to do like the Costanza, like putting the World Series trophy in the parking lot, dragging it, and just trying to get like a nomen or whatever here?
Now, John, it's interesting we didn't come up with that, because on these very airwaves, many times we have said this is how you just behave like an asshole until you get broken up with. This would be a move. Don't shave your pubes and call your cum meat milk until she dumps you.
Yeah, I get. Well, yeah, it's never behave like an asshole. It's always just behave like you are.
So.
Right, like yourself.
It's always be yourself. Now, whether or not those are synonyms, it's up for debate. But like this is this seems like he'd have to be going out of his way to do this. Like I feel like
exactly. So maybe that is what's going on.
It could be. It's not a bad angle. That's for sure. It's clearly working. So
it's working.
Right. I mean, it's a great tactic. The problem is like to do it once you're married is like you couldn't have given this girl a heads up and do it before you fucking walk down the aisle, man.
Yeah, like when I give that advice, it's like to get out of a 3-month relationship, right. not out of marriage.
Right. Jesus, man. Just take your meat milk and give this girl a break. Let's keep moving.
What up, KFC Radio? This is Martin from the DMV. All right, so 4th of July, my friends and I are looking to have a party. We go get together, a little outside grill, cornhole, the whole nine yards. And, you know, I want to bring my girlfriend to this party. And my friends are like, oh, you know, invite as many girls as you can. The problem is most of the girls that I have contact with, I have hooked up with in the past. So is it better to invite those girls and have the awkward run-in introduction with the current girlfriend, or is it a safer play to not invite any girls at all and just bring the girlfriend and leave it up to the rest of my friends?
Well, there's a couple parts to this question. It sounds to me like this dude is going to intentionally invite the girls that he's hooked up with in the past. All because his buddies were like, we need as many girls as you can possibly get. If that's the case, fuck that. Fuck your buddies. Why would you ever shoot yourself in the foot like that just so there could be more fucking chicks around for Feidelberg? Fuck that noise. If there is any way you can avoid this, I think that's your answer. I think anytime you can avoid getting two chicks that you've had sex with, both of them, in the same room at the same time, you avoid that. Whether they're hookups, whether they're just girlfriends, whether whatever they may be, you avoid that at all costs. Would you agree with that, Clem?
Yeah. I think you're better off straight up like just like not inviting your girlfriend to the 4th of July and just dealing with those repercussions of like just hanging out with your buddies than going and inviting a bunch of girls you've hooked up with who are going to like – get drunk on the 4th of July, right? They're going to probably hook up with your buddies. And then they get involved. And if one of them stays with your buddies, then they're in your life now. And you've done this for a 4th of July party? Like, terrible. Are you fucking – like, that? This is a dumb – this is one of the dumber questions I've ever heard.
You run the risk of – you have to do the awkward introductions. But what if it comes out that you banged all them? What if they're hotter than your girl? What if she knows you hooked up with a girl and she's prettier than the one you're dating now? There are so many angles where you may never, ever hear the end of this. It's crazy. Like you said, it would be better to just say you're not invited to 4th of July than to bring around all the chicks that you've stuffed before. Fights, what do you got?
Now, just sorry, my dog was scratching, so I had to let her out. Just to be clear on this, his buddies want as many girls as possible, so they said – they kind of charged him with this, and they said bring all the girls you know.
Yes.
See, this is why you don't – like the girls is like the most important part of the party, so you don't – accept that responsibility. You just say no. I'll bring a 12-pack. It's like being like having like the kid who's like, I got the fake ID in high school. I'll bring the keg. Like the entire party relies on you. Mm. You don't want that kind of responsibility. It's like an office party where like you're in charge of baking the cake. Oh, I'll bring the chips. Thank you. I'll bring the side stuff.
Right.
You don't want to burden yourself with that.
Being the music guy. That's a tough one as well. Where it's like your iPod. This
guy, I think in order. Of ease, it would go booze, music, drugs, girls.
I was the music guy, and I knew every time I was fine. Like, I just focused on that one thing, and that's all you focus on.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do it as well, and I knew I was good. But if you're not ready for that, or you don't think of yourself as a music guy, and someone just says take care of it, that's one of the most nerve-wracking things ever, where you got to, like, worry about what you're putting on next. But, what if this dude was always the girl's guy? What if he's either A, like a ladies' man, or B, he's that friend? You know, there's like that friend every now and then who's kind of like, might even be a little bit gay, but he's not. And he like has great girlfriends and he kind of brings them all around, but he's never a threat to the girls. It's a great thing to have. there's one floating around in my life that's like, it was always good because you never knew, you knew he would bring him around, but never, you know.
The gay stipulation is an interesting one. I've never, I know, like, the guy who always has the girls, but.
Well, this guy's not gay, but, like, we always kind of joke that, like, maybe he is. So, like, he was never a threat to chicks, so they always loved him. But he was, like, normal enough that he would then bring him around with us. So it was, like, a great asset to have. So anyway, what if that guy now has a girlfriend and, like, you can't, like, retire from your position, can you?
Yeah, I think once you have a girlfriend, it's up in the rafters. You're a real dick if you keep making your friend with a girlfriend bring his exes around. Like, yeah, I like that girl you used to hang out with. Bring her again? Like, no, did I have a girlfriend?
Imagine trying to explain that one to your girl. Like, listen, babe, I'm the girl's guy. It's what I bring. Yeah,
in high school, they always relied on me. I can't give it up now.
Because
promised to give up with the girlfriend term.
Yeah, that is not going to work out well for you. So, long story short, don't do this by any means. Tell your friends to kick rocks. And like I said, at all costs, always avoid getting two girls in the same room that you've had sex with both of them. Because it's just never going to end well. It either explodes literally in that moment. Someone's drunk and it comes up and you have like a fucking cat fight on your hands. Or more likely is that she suppresses it and keeps it in and holds it over your head for the rest of your life. And it only comes out when she's been drinking. It's like, remember that time at the 4th of July party where that girl, that slut that you fucked and you got her a beer? Boom. Like, you're done. You'll hear that for the rest of your fucking life.
That stuff happens even if, like,
it's... If you haven't hooked up with them.
It's like, it's just a girl. Like, that's a girl who's Facebook while you were on in 2007. Like, it's going to lead to a fight no matter what. If you have had any relationship with this girl whatsoever, if you know her middle name, you're screwed. If you've actually seen her naughty bits, and that's a whole other story.
Right.
Don't put yourself in that position.
Do not do that. That is the definition of shooting yourself in the foot. And then, of course, once you do shoot yourself in the foot, go to Books.com and get your girl some flowers to say you're sorry. What else do we got here? This is actually a connected question, segues nicely.
What's going on, guys? Calling from Rhodey here. Got a question for you guys. Dating two different girls right now from Tinder. Been on three dates with each of them. One, a little bit better looking, personality not so great, but lives downtown Newport. Girl number two looks not as great, but still pretty good as girl number one. Lives in Patriot Place. Not a great, not an exciting area. But personality, pretty good, better than girl one. How long do I let this charade go? And do I have to end it with one of them, or do I just play it out until I get caught?
John, how long can you date two chicks at the same time?
I've never done it. I can't imagine. I'm like a bad liar. Or, correction, girls are great at catching liars.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty decent liar, I think. Right. I'm a pretty solid one. I'm not good at getting away with it with girls. Just even, like, little stuff, like I was out with friends or anything like that. So to have – I've never understood the guy with two girlfriends or two families to a greater extent.
Those are really crazy.
That one is plenty.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need two girlfriends?
No, yeah. I mean, you should want zero girlfriends, let alone fucking two of them. I'm with you. I think it's very, very hard to do. I think it really matters. It really depends, though. If you think there's any long-term possibilities with one of these chicks, just stop now. If these chicks are going nowhere, I'd say just ride this out until it blows up in your face, because who cares? But I was in this situation before I settled down with my wife, and yeah, I've really never stopped hearing the end of it. So it was like basically a simultaneous situation. She found out about it, and now it still is affecting us like 6 years down the road after we got married. Because like I said, when you have two girls in the same situation that you've had sex with, it always blows up in your face. And John, I didn't realize at the time when I was kind of juggling both of them that I was dealing with a goddamn Sherlock sleuth who can like figure shit out. Had I known that, if I knew who she was now, I would have never even tried it. But I didn't. So, the whole thing kind of blew up in my face. So if there's any long-term ramifications, I say cut it out. Otherwise, just ride this until you go right over the edge of the cliff. Who cares?
Kevin, if they have a vagina, they have the credentials to be a detective. So
I know.
You should have
known. I since have really learned that. Like, you know what it comes down to, John? It's not that they're, like, smarter or they have better detective skills. They're just not as lazy. And they will sit there and, like, if I were to ever even want to snoop, I don't think I've ever snooped because I'm like, I'm going to find something that's going to, like, piss me off. And I don't want to be pissed off right now. But
exactly.
Even yep. if I wanted to.
They don't have that. They crave anger. They crave, like, being mad and catching you. Like, it's all.
They get off on it.
Whole thing is, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? That's life. That's life with a boyfriend. Like, where is he? What's he doing? Why is he there? That's a whole. And it's not just wives. That's how moms are, too. It's just that's what they are. They're really tuned into that. So you don't ever want to mess with that.
No. And they I think it, like, fuels them. I think that's, like, how they survive. They don't need food or water. They need to snoop and find shit just to hold it over their head.
They're a curious creature.
They really are.
It's like second grade, where if you had a brain, you chose girls in your group project because they like to do shit. They like to like to find answers and stuff. Me, I'm like, I don't really give a fuck.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. I don't really care, like, why Leif Erikson doesn't get credit for discovering the United States. Like, that's not really up to me. I don't give a shit.
It's so true. And more to the point, though, let's say I did want to snoop. I don't know what. I would, like, fucking open up your Facebook messages, read, like, one or two of them, and then be like, I don't want to do this anymore. Chicks
Yo,
will scroll.
You do that, and your heart snaps. It's the worst. Your heart breaks. I was walking away, and I had to come back. When you snoop, and when you find something,
the worst.
It crushes you. But girls, for some reason, it just makes them angry, and, like, they enjoy it. It's kind of like a BDSM thing, I think, where, like, they're kind of masochistic, like to be hurt, but they like the anger it makes them feel. It's strange. I'll be right back, though.
But I wouldn't even want, like, they'll scroll, Clem. They'll go through years of your Facebook and through all of your texts and all your emails. And I'm like, you really, like, dug that up from, like, 2013. You were committed to fucking me over on this one. I don't think I'd have the time, patience, or a desire to snoop like that.
And like you said, they'll bring up stuff from 5 years ago that you said casually, like, with a buzz on. And to be like, but you said – like, that's what I've realized as I've gotten older is so many times girls just ask you questions they don't know the answer to because they're trying to then go down that hole. Like, I'm going to find out a way to get them to bring up the name Jill so then I can be like, Jill, oh, just like your bitch ex-girlfriend that I have. You know, like, so you always have to be aware of that. And as, like – I'm so happy I'm out of the game for that reason because now with Tinder, there's just so many – like, these situations are so much easier to get yourself into than, like, AIM back in the day where you could only do so much to yourself.
That's what I don't even get. I mean, this dude – like, that's what Tinder life is. Maybe it's almost easier. Maybe chicks just, like, accept the fact that you're going to be banging chicks all over Tinder left and right. But it seems like you would have – it seems like in our day, way back in the days of yore – to be juggling multiple actual girlfriends, you needed to be like a fucking pimp. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now I feel like everybody can do that with Tinder and Bumble and everything else under the sun. It's like everybody's juggling multiple chicks.
Dude, because when you bring in technology, it's like, you know, I'm always like, if I could go back in time to like the 60s, I could rob every bank in the fucking world. No one would ever catch me.
Yeah.
I could kill someone before DNA. How would they ever fucking find me? That's like – with cell phones and apps and fucking text messages, that's how you get caught. It was much easier to juggle girls back then.
True. John, fire analogy. You're right. And I've said this. I can't believe I even said that myself because I've said a million times before. When you used to just go to work and, like, maybe call your wife from your desk and be like, we're going to be late, and that was it. That was the only time she was going to hear from you, and it was totally acceptable because there just wasn't any technology for her to say otherwise. What a glorious time that must have been.
Dude, even when we were kids, like, even, like, 90s R&B, like, it would be girls screaming about how they caught their man cheating because he had a phone number in his pocket written on a napkin. Like, how fucking stupid.
Yo, those people from those songs were the dumbest people in the world.
Yo, Shaggy song, it wasn't you. Just say it wasn't you. It's like, that's my tattoo. She got my marks on my shoulder. It wasn't me. Like, what the fuck?
And that you can't prove it. There's no Snapchat video to prove it. There's no text trail. There's no nothing. It wasn't me. It was so much easier back then, man. God, I'm working late. I got to go away for work. See you in like 3 days. And that's just how it went. It's incredible.
Just having a scotch with the boys. Just having scotch and sticks. All right, that's what guys do. They come home, they get drunk, they pass out, we fuck, and then, like, we have a kid. That's how they lived back in the 60s. Unbelievable. Mad Men time. And at Bartolo, that's why Bartolo has, like, 8 families, is because none of those chicks are on Facebook. They don't even have a fucking phone.
Those chicks don't, yeah, they don't even have cell phones. Bartolo keeps them, like, in huts in the Dominican. There's no way he can get caught. Oh, my God. I love it. let's take care of a little business here. SeatGeek, you know what it is. SeatGeek is the best way to get tickets to any sporting event or any concert. Fights, your boy is going to Bieber at the Garden. I grabbed 2 tickets for me and the wife on SeatGeek.
You are.
I am. I haven't learned my lesson from going to Ariana Grande or going to Drake and Lil Wayne with her, where I'm always completely out of place at these concerts. But as per usual, I was kind of in the doghouse for something, so I sprung and got her 2 tickets to the Biebs. So they were.
Is this what you asked me when you asked me what play you should get a ticket to on Broadway, and you settled for Bieber?
Yep, that was it. I was gonna do Broadway, and then I was like,
same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't care what they are; they're just me getting out of trouble. You know, it's just like a transaction. So. You want to go to Bieber? Maybe your motives are a little more genuine than mine. Maybe they're not. SeatGeek is the way to do it. You got to download the free app at SeatGeek. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code KFC, and after you buy your first tickets, you will get sent $20 back in the mail. They got the best prices from all the tickets on the secondary market, all laid out nice and easy, so you can find the most affordable price for the ticket you're looking for. Go to the SeatGeek app. Enter promo code KFC and get $20 back after your first purchase.
Hey guys, Tom here. I got a Jinx question for you. I work in professional baseball. The other day we had a 1-0 game in the 8th inning, and I turned to my coworker and I said, "Wow, this game's flying by." He then said, "Way to jinx it." And right after that, we had 9 runs in the 8th and 9th inning combined, and we stayed at work for another hour and a half. So my question to you is, who is at fault in the jinx? Is it the guy that says it, or the guy that actually says, way to jinx it?
Okay. I never thought about this question, and I feel like we're going to be on the same page, but I just want to figure out, maybe I haven't been thinking about it right. Who is the jinx? The person who says, like, oh, wow, there's no traffic, or oh, wow, there's a no-hitter, or the person who clarifies, you just jinxed it?
It's the person who's... It's the first person.
The first,
my wife does it every fucking time we don't have traffic, and we always hit fucking traffic.
Get it, so Clem. Let it out, Clem. God. Let it out.
God damn, it pisses me off when she does that too. God damn it.
You just want to open the door and throw her right out, right? It's like, you know we're gonna hit traffic eventually. Don't say that right now. Does anybody think it's the person who clarifies that you are jinxing the situation? Like, this dude definitely was the jinx. And he's trying to spin it so that he's not the jinx.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the asshole, right? Fights? Are you going against me on this one?
I'm going to be the turd in the punch bowl on this one.
Wow.
I fucking hate jinx talk. I hate it so much. I think it's just like just part of being on social media. And like anytime you say something, you get – you know, we get like 100 replies like, you just jinxed it. You know, if you're like, oh, like Poppy's going deep here and he strikes out, it's like, oh, good jinx, dude. Like, it makes my blood boil to such an incredible extent that even anyone entertains the idea enough to make a joke about it, that my words had an effect on that baseball game in Tampa. Like, it makes me so mad. And it really is not something I used to get mad about. Not even something I used to get mad about when I started on social media. It's like now but probably 2 years ago, I started just hating it with all of my heart. And I'm so anti-jinx, anti-curse, anti-all that bullshit now.
I hear you. I can understand that. You believe in the base god curse though, right?
Oh, Kevin. Kevin, I think the base god curse is the dumbest thing that's ever crossed this earth.
John. John, it's Kevin, proven. Like, it's proven to be true, John.
I've written like three blogs about how I hate Lil B. I hate the base god. I wish the base god would curse me.
I think he has, and you just don't know it. I think that's why your life sucks. You have the base god curse. You just didn't realize it.
I don't think so. I think I'm really pre Lil B with hating my life. So he his would be a reverse jinx or whatever you fucking idiots talk about.
Yo, we John need to save a millionaire. This.
If Lil B the base god cursed John, everything would turn up Feidelberg. He'd marry like a beautiful girl and become a millionaire because it's actually a reverse jinx. You jinxed the wrong life, buddy. It was already so bad. Now it's great.
Yeah, how's that taste, you fucking idiot, little beast, stupid bitch who fucking follows everyone on Twitter because he's such a loser because no one would just fucking follow him by themselves?
Yo, there are certain things.
If you follow everyone on Twitter, you're a goddamn nerd, and I hate you.
That was some passion. John, I agree with you. There are certain times, though, where I just won't really, like, why risk it? That's what I say. Like, the no-hitter thing, just don't say it. The no traffic thing, just don't say it. Because if there really is some sort of karma out there, some sort of fucking higher power pulling strings.
Kevin, there's not. There's not.
You sound so fucking smart and confident in yourself. I know that I'm an idiot. I'm smart enough to know that I'm dumb. Like, and if there is something, I don't want to tempt it.
Every like extremely rich and wealthy person in the world is a piece of shit. So if karma exists, it's not very good.
True. True. But maybe karma works in mysterious ways, John. See, maybe your pea brain...
you the fucking and power.
Yeah, I guess that's,
like, no
that's true.
No good is in a position of power. So karma's not real.
Or it just stinks. Karma's just really not very good at its job.
Karma's just reverse jinx. Oh, someone reverse jinx karma.
John is not a jinx guy, Clem.
I feel like if it looks like Kevin Durant's going to sign with the Celtics, we need to get that video of John just shitting on the base god so we don't have Kevin Durant come to the Atlantic.
I begged the base god to curse the Red Sox because he said he was thinking about it because Norm fucking Kelly asked him to. I was like, do it, you little bitch. I went on like a whole rant the whole night. I was like, do it. Fucking do it. And he didn't. He didn't have the stones to.
Well, I don't think – you know, that's kind of a blow to your ego where it's like the base god's not even really down to throw around his curse for you, you know? Like, if someone with clout said, do it, bitch, he would do it.
Oh, it's a blow to my personal ego, not the Red Sox?
Yeah, no, I think it's a blow to you, that you, like, you keep, like, spitting in the base god's face, and he doesn't even care. He can't even be bothered with you, Feidelberg.
So I keep spitting in God's face. He hasn't killed me yet either, so I guess it makes sense.
I will say, I think Boston fans, like, you heard your whole childhood how a dead fucking boozing, womanizing asshole was the reason he didn't win a World Series. So I completely understand everyone in Boston being like, fuck curses, fuck jinxes, all that shit. It makes perfect sense to me. Fuck Dan Shaughnessy.
Fuck Dan Shaughnessy.
That's too long didn't read. Fuck Dan Shaughnessy.
We'll do a couple more here, and we'll wrap it up. Let's talk about a challenge. People love the 12, 16, 18, 24, 36, 42, whatever fucking challenge. This is another one.
What's up, guys? So me and my friends have been talking about a new challenge for a while now. It's called the 999 challenge. So you have 9 beers, 9 dogs, and 9 innings at a baseball game. So I've done it, attempted once, couldn't do it. Just wanted to see if you guys had any thoughts on it, especially Big Cat?
So I believe our girl Katie Nolan once did this, the 999. 9 beers, 9 dogs, 9 innings. Do you think you could do that?
100%.
It's one of those that seems like – like I mean, Clem, you had – that was actually – that was perfect. Both people 100% the opposite direction there. I was going to say it's one of those that you either absolutely think you can do or you know you absolutely can't. Fights. What do you think would be your downfall? The dogs or the beers?
Dogs. I could do like I don't know, 12, maybe 14 beers and 4 dogs.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't count.
I couldn't do. Well, you just asked me what I could do.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't want you under the impression that that's like a loophole that you could win the challenge.
No, you said what could you do, and I threw out the numbers I think I could do. I'm not saying like that counts as a challenge, but like I could probably do. That's probably where I'd probably do that. Where I'd end up getting I'd start with, you know, like a beer inning and a dog inning, and then by like the third or fourth, I'd be like, eh, I'm kind of just, you know, I got the buzz coming in now. I'd really just rather focus on the beers here.
Yep.
The seventh or eighth, when they shut the beer stands down, I'd be like, well, now I'm hungry again, and I'd grab two more dogs.
I love you thought through that whole day. I love it. Clem, very confident in the 999 ability.
Yeah. What is it? Baseball game's like 2.5-3 hours, give or take. So it's three dogs, three beers an hour. Give or take. Katie Nolan did it or tried it?
I think she tried it. I don't think she was successful. I think she kind of pulled the Feidelberg and just ended up getting shit-faced and eating a couple dogs.
That is the biggest problem for me, too. Like, once you're in the competition and, like, the first couple minutes you're all hyped, and then you're just drunk and you're just fucking, like, on another planet.
Well, the thing is, when you break it down like you just did, three beers and three dogs an hour seems, like, very doable to me. But it's almost like when you talk about the NBA and you're like, you know, just score like 4 or 5 points a quarter and you're, you know, you're going to make like $100 million. It's like, yeah, it's not that easy. I think in the beginning you set out, all right, maybe you put down a couple quick. I think by like the sixth, seventh inning stretch, you're hurting.
Both departments. Once you start sweating meat sweats, that's
also the X factor is that you're out of games. You're probably in the sun. You're probably hot. You know, I guess you could do it at home as well, but I think it adds an extra element if you're in the sun. I think, and you know, those beers are usually like, I feel like those cups are usually like 16 ounces. Maybe they're a little bit bigger. Yeah,
a little bigger than beer.
Yeah, you're drinking a pint. It's, you know, it's, I do have faith in my man Clem that he could do it. But I think the average person out there saying it's a piece of cake is overestimating themselves.
Doing it on the Grit Tour, and I don't know what happened. We got like really, really good seats where it was like filet mignon rather than hot dogs.
That'll do it.
But that's where we were talking about doing that beforehand. And even Dan was kind of on the fence on the show. If he were on the show right now,
he would say he could do it.
I have a feeling he'd be saying he'd crush it. But when we were discussing in a hotel room, he was like, I don't really know. It might be a tough one.
Clem?
I kind of want to do it on Saturday for Barstool at the ballpark, but that ruins like my night and like the rest of my 4th of July weekend, basically.
Yeah.
Because I'm shitting hot dogs and beer the rest of the weekend.
Actually, if there's a time to do it, I didn't even think about Barstool at the ballpark. The beers are free. So, you know, ordinarily getting 9 beers at a game is going to run you going to run you some coin. If you guys want it, I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I'm talking to the general we here, the stoolies. If you want to try the 999 challenge at Barstool at the ballpark, Lord knows that like the Mets are going to stink and that their season is basically done after the Cubs roll through them this weekend. So maybe we'll need to spice it up a little bit. But it would be a good place to
What's
try.
What's the 999 on a not ballpark day? What that's going to run you about $200, yeah?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Pretty, I mean, what is it, like $10 a beer now?
Yeah, about $10 a beer, I think. So, no, not $200.
Oh, yeah,
bucks.
Okay. But $150
minimum, yeah.
Yeah. Actually,
and then you have to get the ticket to get in, right? So it's like $200.
Also, that you can like puke and shit your brains out and feel like you said like garbage for like 3 or 4 days. 9 hot dogs in your belly. Oh, I got a funny story. Last day game dogs, I had four chili cheese dogs, and I basically got like sick. And my wife came home from work and was like, "Let's go out to dinner." And I was like, "I'm sick." And I had to just like blame it on like how we've been sick because of the baby and shit like that. Because I definitely couldn't be like, I had four fucking chili cheese dogs for breakfast, babe. I can't fucking go out to dinner with you again.
If she looked at the schedule and saw the Mets were playing a day game, she's like, you motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, I got rid of all the evidence. I cleaned it up. I threw it out, like all the way out of the apartment. If she saw that it was a 1 o'clock start, she would have been like, fuck you.
Dude, well, that's what I did that. Not that to that extent, but I just like was so ashamed of myself when I tweeted at you about the Red Sox last week, I think. Probably almost exactly a week ago. Yeah. Or it might have been a Friday. But it was – I did day game dogs. And I was staying at my friend's place in Boston, and she wasn't home. She was at work because it was a day game, but we worked in this life.
Right.
And I cleaned the house. I didn't like just pick up my stuff and throw it away. Like I scrubbed cleaned the table I was looking on so that there was no chili like that splattered maybe. I hid everything to such an extent because I was just so embarrassed. Like same thing. Like I had four hot dogs today. You know, one in the afternoon. It was disgusting, but it was so good.
But anyone who doesn't get it would think it was disgusting.
They would think you're a fucking, like, deviant.
So I had to hide it all of it.
That's good, though. Listen.
I left the apartment to go throw it away in the trash barrel on the street.
Right.
I didn't make the rookie mistake. I'm not getting caught with a fucking phone number in my jeans. Right. I'm going out on the street and making sure that shit's taken care of.
My jeans on fire.
Yeah. the thing about hot dog life, like, none of us are above it. We all do it and all love it. But just have the self-awareness to know that, like, women and other people in your life are going to think you're fucking disgusting if you just regularly put down, like, 4 or 5 dogs for lunch during the work week. We're not talking about a fucking 4th of July barbecue. We're talking about sitting in your kitchen with 5 dogs. It's crazy.
Dude, doesn't the FDA say, like, you should have, like, 1 hot dog annually?
Yeah, like a year. Yeah. A year. Yeah, that's hot dog life. You should have. All right, last voicemail of the day is brought to you by BetDSI.com. We got the Olympics coming up. The Olympics is the most corrupt thing in the world. There's so much money to be made because people are going to be, like, throwing events. Rio's in the mix. You never know what's going to happen. You got that freak Michael Phelps. He qualified for, like, his 45th Olympics. Did you see the picture?
Can I interrupt? Yeah. I was doing the math last night. I was like, he's 30. How is he in his 5th Olympics? Because they're every 4 years, so that's 20 years. How are you 30 in your 5th Olympics?
John.
I'm not a mathematician. I'm not Albert Einstein. I never pretend to be. That doesn't compute in this head. It's his 5th Olympics. He turned 31 today, so he was 30 last night. How do you have 20 okay. years of Olympics when you're 31?
Okay, here's the thing. I had this conversation with my brain last night, and I figured it out. Clem, it's a lot like 4 gallons in the yep. in the 3 and 5 gallon jug from Die Hard, where I remember it and then I forget it like instantly. I think you just figured it out. I saw the light bulb go on.
Yep.
How can you be 30 and be to 5 Olympics?
Because you went to one like. I forgot.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So let's go through this. You go to one when you're like, can you be under 18 for the swimming? Can you be like a child?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you went to one when you're 16, 4 years 20, 4 years 24, 4 years 28.
32. It doesn't make sense.
But, like, his birthday's in the summer, so could he have just
turned? His birthday's
turned?
Today. Today is his birthday.
Today.
What are the chances of that, by the way?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Let's
31 today.
I mean, because this is driving me nuts, I'm just going to have to, like, look this up now. Michael Phelps, first Olympics age. God bless Google. This is – you know that there's, like, some math nerds, some, like, college kids who – the thing about these – you know, when you have these – when you're, like, solving problems like this for school and shit, you can just, like, figure this stuff out. Once you get out of it, you become a retard with these things. So there's probably someone laughing at us right now. Come on. Where is it? 16.
I didn't know.
16 and 10 months.
Was his first Olympics?
Yeah.
16, 20, 24, 28, 32. How is – what's happening, guys? What's happening here? It doesn't make sense.
At 15, all right, 15, he was at the 2000 Olympics. And so that there's been 16 years since then. Well, and so that should be 4 and 4, right? Is this one of those things where, like, you don't count zero, so it's like you don't count, like, this
I
one?
I feel like that's it.
Yeah. So, like, this is...
I'm so happy. I sat at my kitchen table last night because I was eating dinner, and I was looking as I was eating dinner. Phelps makes his 5th Olympics. This is crazy. So I just sat there in silence with my family, and like I was just like trying to quietly do math in my head. And then I had a tweet written up like, "Why do people keep saying it's Phelps' 5th Olympics? There's no way that's possible." And I just sat there thinking about it for like 40 minutes. And I just didn't have the balls to send the tweet. Like I was too scared to get called dumb, so I just erased it and went back on with my night. But I'm glad that we're all on the same page here. It doesn't make sense.
Man. You can't be in a fifth. That is really funny that you knew you were being an idiot and you were just like, I'm not gonna press send on this tweet right now.
My whole family was sitting there talking and I was just like,
I had the phone in my hand with the message written, and I was like sitting there counting in my head. They're trying to be like, how can a 31-year-old be in his fifth Olympics? It just doesn't add up.
I mean, the answer would have had to be that he started when he was like 12, but...
So his first one was 15 or 16?
They say he was 15 in 2000.
So 15, and then 4 years from that is 19, then 23, 27, 31. He just turned 31,
so he
right?
Just turned 31 today?
Yeah.
And so he must have just turned 15 at the first one.
Right. That's the thing. It's like he just, and you can kind of sandwich them in. It's like when they say that Charlie Huff pitched in like 9 different decades because he started in like 69 and he ended in like 1999. Remember that? So, yep. All right. Clem, I think Clem cracked the case for us there. He just sat there and counted until he actually got it right, fights. That was not our best performance. So you want
the video? The premium crew is going to get really good, like idiots trying to like a bunch of apes trying to count on our hands that whole time too. It's great.
See, I didn't even try because I wasted all my brain cells on it last night. I was just sitting here waiting for one. I was the kid in the group project who picked the girls, and I was like, you guys fucking figure it out.
Yeah, man, I mean, really, all it comes down to is whether he was 15 or 16. That makes all the difference, right? Riveting stuff here on KFC Radio. So, like I said, you want to bet on Phelps and his magical, mysterious fifth Olympics. BetDSI.com has got you covered. On top of all the normal sports, they've got UFC, they've got the Olympics, they've got you can bet on reality TV shows, you can bet on the election. Anything that you can really place a wager on, BetDSI has got you covered. Right now they're running a promo where you can get $10 for free to play. So go to Barstool, go to BetDSI.com, use the promo code Barstool10, and you will get a $10 credit to play for free and place a bet on any of the things we just mentioned. That's betdsi.com, Barstool10. Last voicemail, and we'll wrap it up. Classic time, tale as old as time debate that kind of resurfaced again this week.
Hey, so that Tim Tebow story kind of sparked my wondering, and maybe you guys have talked about this before, but do you guys think that Tim Tebow is actually a virgin? I mean, there's no one that's ever come out and said that they've been with him or even come out that he's done anything crazy all through college. So is he the saint that everyone thinks he is?
We've all probably answered this question before, but we're going to redo it here. Is Tim Tebow actually a virgin? John?
Yes.
Clem?
Yes, I'm a believer, and I know you're not, so I know your answer already.
Yeah, I mean, I love that old school, that microphone you got there looks like it's like something. Clem's microphone looks like when the boxing, the mic used to come down from the ceiling in boxing rings. I just refuse to believe that someone in his position has not at least once put his penis inside of something. A girl, a guy, I don't know, just something. I think it is suspicious. Like I think it's against my case that nobody has ever said anything. Like we said, in the era of social media and shit, somebody would have snitched. Somebody would have gone to TMZ. Maybe he pays off everybody. Derek Jeter did a good job for a long ass time too. Maybe he just has like a coalition of priests who like clean up his dirty work for him. I don't know. It just seems impossible that a dude in his profession with his looks and all that shit has never had sex.
It's a fair point. The Catholic Church has been decent at covering up sexual deviance.
Right. I think they absolutely realize that he is, like, super valuable to the cause. And they probably have some, like, Ray Donovan types who just follow him around cleaning shit up. I bet you Tim Tebow has fucked a ton of chicks and then the Vatican kills them afterwards. I bet you have sex with Tim Tebow and then you get killed.
You're a sacrifice, not virgin, but you're a sacrifice...
Unvirgin.
By a virgin. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I would really
it's
not
like the dude from Da Vinci Code, the albino. He like just fucking whips himself and then he kills you.
Yeah, he follows Tim Tebow around and just kills all the chicks that he fucks. Tell me, listen. How about this?
It says a lot about the Catholic Church that this isn't preposterous.
Yes, I'm going to say. Tell me what's more preposterous: that the best college quarterback of all time at the University of Florida, who went on to become a professional athlete, has never had sex, or that there's a massive Catholic Church cover-up in which all of the people who have sex with Tim Tebow instantly get murdered afterwards. I think option B is the less ridiculous story, and I genuinely mean that.
Now, my question is is mouth stuff allowed?
No. See, if Tim Tebow is just getting his dick sucked, that's not fair. You can't walk around with the virgin tag getting blown by chicks left and right. So if I find out that he thinks mouth stuff is okay, I'm gonna flip my shit.
I feel like that would make a lot of sense. Like Chandler Parsons the other day, he went to Florida as well. He said he never had a beer, and I thought that was almost as crazy as Tebow. Not quite, because
I think that's crazier.
Think it's crazier?
Meaning he never drank at all, or he just wasn't a beer guy?
Well, that's a good question too. But he said he's never drank a beer in his life.
No, I bet it meant he's never drank at all. I mean,
that's crazy.
There's some weirdos who are like that. Harrison Barnes never had an alcoholic beverage until they won the NBA championship. I forget which one of the Penguins it is. One of the Penguins, after they won the Stanley Cup, he tweeted a picture. He said, having the first beer in my life, or having the first drink of my life, out of the only cup I'll ever drink out of. And he's drinking out of the Stanley Cup. There, I think athletes who kind of just dedicate their bodies to it don't have a hard time saying no to alcohol. So I think Tebow has dedicated his body to God. Stupid move, but so he did stupid. It. So I don't think it's too preposterous to think he's a virgin. I think it's like
– oh, I mean, I'm not even
– it's preposterous. It's preposterous. I don't think it's too unbelievable.
I don't think – I'm not even trying to do a big cat here. I think that it's a more reasonable proposition that the Catholic Church is slaughtering everyone who has sex with than him never once conceding, like, in a moment of weakness on the road, like, let me just fuck this chick. That's crazy.
Crazy.
All right. That's it for this episode. Clem, big boy appearance. I'll leave it to you. Any last words?
No, I said it the other day. I tweeted it. I feel like we learn a little something new about John every episode of KFC Radio. Mm-hmm. It's like a movie where there's another movie going on in the background. And like when you rewatch KFC Radio, when they're all done years from now, you just watch the Feidelberg says and said that was the whole movie the entire time. It was just learning about John story by story. And I'm fascinated to learn more.
Dude, you could make Reddit threads like they do about Game of Thrones, dissecting what Feidelberg said and the foreshadowing and like when he like, you know, he said this in episode 3 and it came true in episode 175. Can you believe it? That's how.
What did I say today? I thought today was a pretty standard day.
No, today was actually one of the ones where I thought it was pretty low-key, but I feel like it's going to come back to us in, like, episode 225.
Right. You never know. You gotta have the callback ready. I will say it takes a lot for you to be completely thrown off your game, and Meat Milk did that. You were like, I don't know what to say here.
Well, you want to know why it really threw me off my game?
Because you weren't fucking paying attention, because you never pay attention.
No, because I had to move seats because they were doing, whatchamacallit? They were cutting the lawn in over like 2 yards down, and I could hear it. Mm-hmm. So I moved to the other side of my yard, and then I could see into my kitchen window, and I could see my mom there. And it
can't talk about Meat Milk with your mama. No way. All right, good stuff. I'll catch you guys next time.
Later.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.